Hey, y'all. This episode is being brought to you by Tristan Walker and the good people over at Bevel, the first and only shaving system for coarse hair, curly hair, sensitive skin, all of the above, and D. Look, this month they are offering an amazing opportunity for the first 300 people who can get to getbevel.com and use code THEREEDFREE. You will get your first month free. That's THEREEDFREE at getbevel.com. So go on over there, look and you can get you something nice and let them know we sent you. And let's start the show. I'm like a bird. I want to fly away. That's all I have. Whatever. Like, here we go.
Millie Furtado, really?
Sure.
That could not be more random, but all right.
And yeah, this is the read.
Okay, so shout out to you for just skipping the whole introducing yourself part and just being like, yep, here we are with the show.
Oh, I'm Nelly Furtado.
I am Jo Marie Payton.
And this is the read.
I was thinking about her earlier just because I feel like she doesn't get all the shine she deserves as like a sitcom mom from the 90s and
she
all
that. She lives in Miami.
Does she really?
She lives in South Florida somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that may be where she's from. I've just bumped into her in grocery stores before. And she spoke at the Trayvon Martin rally when we were begging white people to go to trial.
Damn. Wow. I didn't even know that.
And I think she's doing something with the guy who played Carl Winslow. They're supposed to be in like some Christmas movie together.
Well, I thought he died.
That's because the internet killed him the same way they killed Jaleel.
Oh, damn.
And they killed a whole bunch of other people that aren't dead. But yes, he's alive. He's alive.
Okay, well, never mind then. Shout out to Uncle Carl.
So Black Excellence this week is going to go to a young woman by the name of, I want to say it's Haben Girma.
That's probably it.
Close as I could possibly do. My iPad is frozen. It's still frozen. I have no idea why. Either way, she is a recent graduate of Harvard Law. She's also a deafblind student or was a deafblind student. The White House recently named her part of the Champion of Change. She spoke at like the 25th anniversary for the ADA, the American with Disabilities Act or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She gave like the introductory remarks at that program. She got a hug from Barack Obama. She's working as like a public service lawyer.
Everything.
She loves to surf and like just be awesome and cool and inspiring. So you can go online and look her up for more information about that. She has like a really great TED talk somewhere on YouTube about how she managed to be the shit, you know, and, you know, go get your life and listen to something nice and inspiring today because you're going to get nothing but bullshit after that.
That's like the only halfway positive thing we have to say today. So shout out to her. She's the first deafblind person to graduate from Harvard Law. And I know her mom's from Eritrea, I think. And so she just, I can't even imagine, like, I was the worst student of all time and I had no disabilities at all. And so just shout out to you for actually caring that much about learning and being a good person.
All right, so this week in pop trash, hip-hop trash.
Is it specifically hip-hop trash this week?
No, it's kind of, I was going to say soul trash, but
oh no,
it wasn't all trash. So the Soul Train Awards were Sunday night.
Yes, they were.
I forgot about them because I was watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And that was also trash with no soul.
I meant to catch up on it, but I just couldn't. I couldn't sit through the whole thing. It was just like,
Cynthia has lost her mind. She's crazy.
Like, is she just desperate for a storyline or to like not get cut? What is this that she's
lost
doing?
It.
I'm so confused.
She's doing so much with so little.
Yeah. And poor Kim Fields is just coming in like, well, hey, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I'm a square with a career. And here I am trying to associate with y'all so I can promote my new projects and stuff. It's just like, you're here, but you're not really a part of these bitches and they whole like crazy mindset, and we can all tell. So
she's like the girl in Cell Block Tango that like didn't kill nobody.
Yes, exactly. The one innocent person
who was guilty. And she's whole, just like here anyway. And
she's the one who ended up getting executed. The one innocent one. So, but yeah.
So, yeah, the Soul Train Awards came on from what I caught. It was pretty dandy, I guess. Erykah Badu is hilarious.
Of course.
Great host.
Did you catch anything in particular that you were? Because you're looking like, not really. All right. Jasmine Sullivan performed.
That was great.
Yes, it was. Actually, I enjoyed the entire show until the R. Kelly portion.
Which was last. And yeah. I felt like that was, you know, unnecessary. But if you're going to place it somewhere, you might as well place it at the end so I can just turn
right,
it
so
off.
I can turn it off and not have to be bothered with turning it back on. So, and I appreciated that because the show itself, I thought, you know, like this is some really good singing we are seeing on stage. These are people who are like talented and they have been working at their craft for years. And it's just like so refreshing to see people who can actually sing and perform on stage.
I felt like, you know, they definitely got the soul genre right.
Mm-hmm.
American Music Award. Well, Billboard too, but pretty much just anybody who was confused about like rhythm and blues, soul, jazz. Like,
yes.
I feel like they gave you a pretty decent, a few examples mm-hmm. of what that really means. The Babyface tribute was great. Boys
was.
to Men sang Me Underneath My
so
Furniture.
Cute. Oh man, that was dope.
Tevin Campbell is still here.
he's with us.
And so that's great. I was disappointed that he didn't sing Eye to Eye, but I understand mm-hmm. given, you know, what the purpose
right.
of his performance was. It's okay.
I will always have a soft spot for Tevin Campbell.
I mean,
no matter what.
Tevin will always have a soft spot.
Okay. All right. terrible.
Then Candy came out and then they did this really weird skit that mm-hmm. was dedicated to the Cod piece.
Oh yeah, that was,
which was like, I didn't like it. I thought that it was corny. I thought it was like too much, and I just wanted to hear Candy, and then they didn't even perform it.
And then they did not even do Candy.
Like, everybody else came out and sang five of their own albums.
Mm-hmm.
And then their favorite fucking Nina Simone cover or whatever.
Okay.
And Candy came out and sang that one goddamn song and not Candy. I felt betrayed. I felt...
Cameo,
I'm sorry. Came out and they sang everything but my favorite song
yeah.
in the world. Like, I really felt... I felt oppressed.
Oh, okay. Oppressed.
I felt...
downtrodden?
Downtrodden is
yes.
another word I would use.
Okay.
I felt disadvantaged.
Right.
It was kind of like, it was betrayal.
Wow, really?
It really hurt.
I could see how you would take that personally, because I know that is your favorite song of all time.
In the world.
Excluding
and
nothing.
And when is the next time that we're probably going to get a televised performance from from Cameo?
Right.
Like...
And it just would have been the perfect time to have something like that on your DVR forever. I get it.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But still, overall, I felt the show was excellent. I can't comment on what R. Kelly did because I did not watch it. Not one bit.
This is
once
all
I
have.
Saw people who looked like teenage girls next to him, I was like, let me cut this off.
First of all, okay, let me just start by saying this. We have given R. Kelly his due. After the tape, we have given R. Kelly, there have been so many award shows that he's gone to and done medleys and sang all of his hits. The nigga has classics. They'll probably always be classic. It's undeniable. That's fine. But I'm not gonna sit up and watch 30 more goddamn R. Kelly tributes where this nigga is wearing a fucking all white suit, a Thierry Marie blazer with Hot Topic pins in his hat and stockings, basketball shorts, and some Air Force Ones, standing in the middle of a man-made barbecue set on a stage singing to you like
right.
the Ignition remix or whatever. Like, I'm done. I'm good. His beard is very predator to me. Everything about him just makes me uncomfortable. I personally can respect what he's done, but I just don't want to see any more of it.
Yeah.
Like, that year that I went to the BET Awards, however many years ago, he did one there and I was like, he killed it. Like, you know, he's got all of this stuff, but I'm good.
Right.
He's gross.
He just makes me uncomfortable to look at. Like, I'm just not comfortable with it. If you can tolerate R. Kelly, that's your business. I don't really care until niggas start defending him, you know, raping and pissing on them little girls. And then I will speak up. But if you, you know, you still jig to R. Kelly's music and you like, yeah, I know that nigga's fucked up, but it is what it is. I mean, I get that because, you know, for a lot of us, it's hard to just be like, fuck that person. He did something terrible and I'm just never going to listen to him again.
Like I said, I can watch The Cosby Show. I can, you know,
I haven't even seen The Cosby Show on air. Like, I haven't seen it on any network. I used to be able to catch a rerun anytime. I haven't seen it at all on TV.
I just saw it the other day somewhere. I may have been watching it on Hulu or some shit. I don't know. But I can still do those things because I know how to separate, you know, the art from the artist or what have you. I just don't. I'm good on Robert. And especially when he comes out singing all these songs in a white muscle shirt with a leather vest and a Von Dutch hat.
This Lucius Lyon collection ass outfit. I was really like, so y'all's uncle, because now he's dressing like the predatory uncle who goes to holler at girls at the local high school. Like before he just was that nigga and now he looks like that nigga. And y'all still just, but okay. I mean, that's y'all's
business. Who wants you to reach into the bottom of the cooler? I just...
Oh God. Okay.
I'm done. I'm really good.
Too many family reunions.
But that's me personally speaking for myself.
No. Like, but overall, you know, I enjoyed the Soul Train Awards and Erykah Badu is very dope. So
the cipher was hilarious.
Yeah. And good. Like, I just you didn't enjoy it?
The cipher was pretty funny.
I thought it was
I really enjoy Layla. I enjoyed Chrisette's part. I thought that Uncle Levert was very, very uncle and on time and sang.
Yes.
And I felt
sang
like
your uncle.
Parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents like lived for his section. I lived for it as well.
I know my mama was like, you better get it. That's her fave.
That was cute. I wouldn't mind them doing something like that again.
Yeah. So, all right. Shout out to y'all, Soul Train Awards. Did anything else happen? Had to be in.
Iggy Azalea got shaded on that show and then caught it and then had something to say about it. What else happened?
That's what I was going to say. That's the formula for like 8 other news stories this year. So,
I mean, just.
Live. I mean, all right, girl. I mean, honestly.
Live with it.
Until they brought your name up, I hadn't heard it in like 3 months. So I guess you ought to be glad somebody was talking about you at all. Because it's surely got to be over from Iggy Azalea's standpoint. It's no way she's looking at her career like, yeah,
no,
I can still
come
back.
No, I think she's talking about, you know, what they're planning next and that whole thing.
Stop this.
I think that she'll manage to get out another album. I just don't think that it will do well. And I don't think that it will be anything but her last project. If it sees the light.
Right, if it ever comes out. But all right, girl, good luck to you.
And, you know, well, I've already said why. Rick Ross allegedly dissed Drake and Lil Wayne on a new song that he has called Color Money.
Is this on his album or who knows?
You know, I don't care. Okay. And that's no shade. Like, you know what I'm saying? I know Rick Ross is from Miami or whatever, but I don't really feel like true Miami natives care that deeply about Ross. Like when he was about to die or whatever that other day when he had too many lemon pepper wings or too much garlic or whatever, however long ago when he was like he had what did he have? Like
yeah something was wrong maybe like it was just complications from his gastric
or
bypass
some
or something
happened to
really
him where they were like
was.
Rick Ross might be gone, and I personally like that was the closest I've ever felt to Rick Ross because I was like damn like yeah. Miami, like, history, but I don't ever... I think that, like, the East Coast and maybe Midwest kind of stood up for Ross more than Miami did.
Probably so.
Because I just don't...
I mean, and Miami has enough talent to be like, we'll just ride for somebody else. Like, we don't really need to divert our energy, like, concentrate on you, my nigga. We cool over here, actually.
I just don't feel like we care that much.
Right. So, I mean, it is what it is, but...
Either way, he has some new song.
Dissing Drake for what, though?
For the Meek Mill thing, I guess. My little homie made a million on his girl tour. We back to back and down to whack a nigga unborn. So you're giving out abortions? What does that even mean?
What the hell does that mean? Right. You're going to whack a nigga? What? Jesus.
Miami niggas got them changing all the gun laws. So Run Forest got some shooters and they died too. I got more money than that pussy that you're assigned to.
Oh, Lord. But see, Drake and Rick Ross have worked together. I don't understand this.
He's defending his child.
I'm sorry?
He's like that mama that, you know, when their kid gets into a fight.
I really thought you were talking about his literal child, and I was so confused.
Like, she runs out in, like, her curlers and, like, a moo-moo.
Really, though?
With, like, a wooden spoon.
For Meek Mill, though, really?
Well, this is his artist.
I mean, but I had no idea Ross cared that much. If you did, why would you wait? Why is this coming out, like,
because
at this
every
point?
Single time Meek Mill starts yelling at people and getting all irate, Rick Ross comes behind and is like, we all good. You know, I spoke to the little homie and, you know, we out here. And, like, pass me that ranch. Like, we out here.
All right.
It's just like.
I mean, but you could have done that this summer when everybody was clowning this nigga and dragging him through Instagram and his fucking face was the number one meme like of all time and shit. Like, this just seems late, but all right.
It seems like another bad idea in, like,
I mean, y'all reviving
this timeline of bad ideas from everyone but Drake.
I mean, all right, Rick. I mean, is this what you need to do to get, like, attention? Is this something so that niggas will?
I feel like that's the case.
Or you just genuinely feel like it's an issue behind this stupid shit that Meek Mill started? Like,
Rick Ross and the internet and Instagram, whoever, they love having conversations about Rick Ross and that girl that he was dating or is dating or was engaged to.
I just can't
and
be bothered.
I don't care anything about that. So yeah. I don't think that he needs attention if people are willing to talk about your relationship that don't matter.
I really don't understand that whole rap nigga mentality of, you know, I feel the way about this and I'm going to stick up and say X, Y, Z in defense of this person, even if they were utterly wrong and inserted themselves into a situation that they had no business being in. Like, okay. So you
I feel like because you're a woman.
Maybe so. Maybe you just have to be a man to understand why
men
a person would do
really,
that.
Really, really egotistical.
I mean,
especially straight men.
I mean, but my God, like, this just, it seems like you asking for a fight here and like you poking at some shit that you could just as easily leave alone because wasn't nobody really looking around. Like, where is Rick Ross?
Do you know how many niggas, like, literally lose their lives every day just because they're too proud to choose something that makes sense?
So stupid.
That's just how niggas are.
I mean,
I don't understand what this is about or what you look to gain out of this particular squabble. I thought that it was over. I thought that we declared a clear winner.
I thought we had all decided that Drake won this and it was over. Like, it's been quiet for
the
months.
The only person who could have said something and made it interesting at that point would have been Nicki.
Yeah. Yes, and she has not. So I thought we had all just agreed to leave it alone. And here you go, bringing it back up. Now, I mean, I'm going to look forward to it if Drake decides to put out, you know, three-peat or something else and just comes at you niggas sideways. Of course, I'm going to sit back and enjoy it again. But this just seems like, you know, something niggas did for the sake of pride or just to say they did it. Like, this wasn't necessary. Nobody needed you to do this.
Well, hopefully that doesn't affect the stock over at the Stop.
Over at the where?
The Wingstop.
Okay. Was he really at that Wingstop on 125th?
If he was,
blessing,
you know,
it or whatever?
I don't know or care because I wasn't going nowhere near it.
No, I'm sorry. I'll pass.
Sandra Bullock adopted another black baby.
For what?
Well, she says that.
Did the boy ask for like a sibling?
That's what I read.
Oh, really?
Her 5-year-old. Was saying that he really wanted a sibling and he wanted his sibling to look like him.
Oh.
So.
And she was like, cool, I'll just go pick up another one then.
It wasn't just that, you know, she loves adopting Negro kids. But he was like, I don't want no.
Don't bring
Mason
no white baby
or
around.
No Penelope. Like, I want to have like a sibling that look like me. That, like, I get it.
What's his name? Is it Lewis? Sam? Lewis. I knew it was something
Lewis
like.
Lewis is 5. Layla is 3.5.
How cute.
And she was taken from a foster care in Louisiana. And now she's living with Sandra and Lewis.
Wow.
And they're a happy little family. And. Yeah.
I can just picture this little boy walking up to Sandra Bullock and being like, so listen,
Like, right, like, thanks a bunch and all that.
I appreciate, like, you know, you picking up a young nigga and bringing me to your nice White House. It's very nice.
These 5 years have been great.
Very clean, lots of food, appreciate it.
You know,
love
bananas
you.
And oats every day. I'm real regular, like, I feel good.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel strong in this home. I feel like I'm growing. I'm developing. I get a lot of rest here. I want to let you know, like, I'm gracious.
Like, the future is bright.
However, I feel like you and I need to bring in another person into the mix.
I'm bored, girl, is what I'm saying.
I'm trying to talk to you. Like, I try to talk to you, and I just feel like you and I don't connect in, like, a real way. Like, I need another person, somebody I can look at eye to eye and talk to. And no shade, but, like, I'm going to need a sister. Like, don't be bringing no little mixed or white children up in here talking about, like, no. I need somebody I can bond with, so just get on it. And right. Her being like, you know what? What you said makes sense, and I agree. And that just being the end of it, like, and so it shall be.
They're probably going to have a nanny who, like, makes real good mac and cheese and, like, pies and stuff. And then they're just going to be, like, the 1930s all over.
Didn't she? No, don't do this. Didn't she do an interview a while back about how she is, like, very aware of the challenges he'll face and the things people say about him? And
I don't know.
All this. I think she did something to make me feel, like, not nervous about her adopting black kids. So I'm going to go ahead and say good job, Sandra Bullock, and I wish you good luck and congratulations with your beautiful children.
Well, it looks like she's holding Blue Ivy on the cover of this magazine.
Oh, does it? Oh, yeah. Does she have, like, a little afro like Blue Ivy?
Two little puffs.
Oh my God.
That dead ass looks like Blue Ivy.
How
in
her cute.
Arms, like, when's my mama coming to get me?
Oh, I would honestly die if she and Blue Ivy were, like, friends.
That would be cute.
Right? I feel like Beyonce could be friends with Sandra. Well, maybe. Sandra Bullock might be a little, like,
Blue girl, can you just come tell your mama I need my hair done?
Yeah, right. Can you just
Tina.
Text yo mima right quick and let her know, like, I need to come hang out with some black people real quick. No shade.
Right. I love it, you know, when I go over to visit you and Miss Tina, because I always get my hair done and, like, barbecue sauce. And
Beyonce can pick up all the little black girls who have white mothers and let them come over, like, Northwest and Zahara, what's her name's baby? Angelina Jolie's child.
Look, I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Look at you. You don't even give a shit.
No, Zuri. No, is it Zuri?
No, it's Zahara.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
I thought it was Zuri.
No, it's Zahara, like Sahara, but with a Z. I'm like 98% sure.
I'm pretty sure it starts with a Z, but I mean, I'm doing my Google.
Zuri sounds like Suri Cruz.
It's Sahara.
Okay.
So. And Maddox and Shiloh and Pax and Knox.
Okay.
That sounds and like, Vivian. God damn, they got a bunch
like
of
a
kids.
Different, bunch of different forts. Like, they don't even sound like names of children. Sounds like military bases.
They have like a whole little gap kids that they walk around with.
I don't think there's a celebrity child named Zuri.
No, I think I may have been thinking of something else.
Okay. I just Googled it to make sure, but no. Is that it? What are you doing?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's something that happened. Oh, speaking of Blue Ivy, she's supposed to be on Coldplay's album.
Mm-hmm. The president, too.
So, you know, that's just another notch in her credit.
How do you even get Blue Ivy on your album? Like, even if you are friends with her mother, like, how does Beyonce even agree to that?
I feel like you dial the number and then somebody patches you in and she's free. And then she's just kind of like, all right, girl, Chris, what is it? And he's like, look, I'm working this new album. Like, your mom's going to be on it. And I feel like it would be perfect if you would just come and, like, do a little something in the studio with us. And she's like, girl, well, look, I'm in St. Tropez this weekend, and, like, I have my whole next week blocked off to make sure that these girls got these 12 counts together for the next album. Like, because my mama is doing it, I'm willing to swing by when she swings by if she stops at, like, Shake Shack or something for me first. And then depending on the temperature of the fries that day,
all right,
I may or may not be in a good mood. and may or may not agree to do this album with you. So she got the fries she wanted. Right. She recorded the music. She right. got her cut. I feel like they gave her 50% up front because she does not play that bullshit.
And then they know
and it's all done, you know. So just remember that is who we're dealing with.
Yeah. It's just another day in the life of Blue Ivy Carter.
She's not just like, oh girl, this is what I had on today. She's like, I'm too busy because I'm working.
Right.
Like, I have credits. I'm
I
a
have
singer,
things to do.
Choreographer. You know, yes. like fairy princess.
COO of Rock Nation or what the hell ever. Like, I'm a busy person. I have shit to do. I have checks to sign.
Like, honestly, get out my face because I don't have time.
She's just stomping around the city in her little toddler sized Timberlands and ain't shit you would do about it. I love her.
There's rumor that NeNe Leakes is going to be back on Real Housewives of Atlanta next season.
Oh, no shit. No shit.
I've heard that she's, you know, gasping for air on Broadway.
That sounds about right. Because a bunch of people hit us up after last week and said that NeNe can't, she's not a vocalist, but she can like carry a tune. Like, apparently it's not totally wretched, but you wouldn't be breaking your neck to go hear fucking NeNe Leakes sing, which is what I thought.
I'm not going.
No, I'm just not going. I'm just period.
Anyway, they're saying, I mean, I think she did confirm that she's supposed to come back this season and do like the vacation episode or whatever that they do every season.
Mm-hmm.
And then supposedly
Garbage.
She's looking to, because someone even asked her one, I don't know if it was The View or one of those shows that she did where she got shaded. They asked her if she would ever go back to, and she's like, I don't know. You know, like, I may not. And like I said, she knows that Real Housewives is this shit. That gave her the platform for all those producers to be like, oh, would you come into this? And so she's probably, if things start to go downhill, she's going to jump. But I feel like NeNe has enough money to live.
Right. I don't think it's an issue of money. I think it's an issue of people paying attention to her. I think she's one of those people who doesn't mind the fact that she like is constantly talked about and dragged and people are like continuously running her name through the mud as long as her ass is being talked about. And I don't see NeNe getting booked for anything after this little Broadway thing. Like, maybe she'll surprise me and end up all over TV and guest starring on Blackish and Empire.
I heard she had like a show coming out with Betty White or something.
No, what? Did you tell me that? Or
I think Dustin told me that.
Oh, So listen, no, that's not going. Betty White's show, this Hot in Cleveland show, just got canceled. I love Betty White, but stop putting her in starring roles on sitcoms. Like, she, that lady is old. Let her rest. Like,
the last thing that she, I would feel so, let me be quiet.
And then y'all putting her up against this fucking woolly mammoth of a person and being like, interact with this she beast and like, come on, this woman, come on. Betty, hasn't Betty White been through enough? Like, that shit with, if NeNe is starring in a sitcom with Betty White, that's going to be canceled. That's not going to last more than one or two seasons. And she's going to want that attention. And I'm sure Bravo has a large check on reserve for her whenever she feels like coming back and picking it
she
up.
She and Wendy Williams should just do a reality show, and it could be like Spy versus Spy. Where they, you know, both like have the careers.
I used to love that game.
Blow the hell out of each other.
I used to play that video game. It confused the shit out of me, but I loved it. She'll be right back on Housewives of Atlanta because she doesn't. I don't think NeNe's happy unless she has somebody to bully or people to pick on or like yell at or feel better than. She needs a way to feel superior.
Because she keeps saying like, oh, you know, that I don't think anybody's ever watched that show or that particular part of the franchise and thought of anybody else, or oh, you know, that makes me, I feel like everyone's pretty clear it's, you know, the NeNe show or some shit like that. Like,
I mean, girl,
like, if you love it that much, then girl, just go back to it.
If you really feel like it's the NeNe show, then it just, then why did you leave it? If you feel like you're that integral to it, then how is it surviving? Like, how is it even on without you? And why will you be right back? Because you need it just as much as it needs you, and you act like you don't. Like, I don't know if Housewives of Atlanta is suffering for ratings this season. I wouldn't think so, since they done added so much garbage to keep niggas entertained. Like, I don't think ratings are gonna be an issue. But if they are, and NeNe don't have anything else to do, I guarantee she'll trot her ass right on back over to them cameras and smile real big for Andy, like she's
real,
supposed to.
Real big. Real big.
And tap dance real hard.
Huge.
Do whatever the fuck you know you will.
Big smile.
Girl, you better shut the fuck up.
iPad Pro teeth.
Please. If I was NeNe, I would just be like, you know what? I hit my run. I had my 15 minutes and then some. I made my money and I'm done.
She should put Apple Watches in each tooth.
Shut the fuck up. What is wrong with you? Get the hell on. What else happened? Shit. How the fuck? I'm not even. Okay.
Kobe Bryant's retiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's happening.
Oh, I thought that you would have more feelings because
I don't know why you think I care about everything that's related to sports just because it's related to sports. Kobe Bryant is nowhere near my favorite player. I grew up in the Jordan era, so I'm not starry-eyed about Kobe like a lot of these kids are. Like, I know he's a lot of y'all's Jordan, but him retiring is just like another player retiring to me. Like, a great, but...
Okay, so wait a minute.
I'm not emotionally attached to Kobe at all.
I'm not emotionally attached to any basketball players.
None of them? Not even Steph Curry? I mean, he's light-skinned and cute. That's right up your alley. I would think.
Niggas ain't cute just because they light-skinned. Okay,
That's true. But the ones you like tend to be light-skinned.
That doesn't have anything to do with what
almost
you said.
Almost unanimously, though. But I said Steph Curry is light-skinned and cute. Which he is.
But that last part.
He's adorable.
Is up for less.
You don't think Steph Curry is cute?
Steph Curry is cute. I'm not attracted to Steph Curry.
Okay.
But all he's right. cute.
Okay. I can understand
because he looks just
that.
Like his baby.
Okay. Well, now it's weird.
And when I first saw the baby, I was like, oh, she's so cute. Oh, shit. She looks just like him. Oh, so he is cute. Like, it didn't really snap for me until I saw a tiny version
Riley.
Of him.
Okay.
Then I was like, oh, yes, this is an adorable family. Now I get, wife is beautiful.
Yeah. No, Aisha's gorgeous. So, like, Trevor Noah then. Like, I think Trevor Noah is adorable, but not, like, necessarily sexually attracted to him.
Noah is, like, cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
like that. Okay, well, so
like
anyway.
Drake was like, I always thought that Drake was like cute but not like fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw like potential there.
Yeah, oh definitely.
And that nigga was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna have me like a pre-workout with a protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna be, you know, pushing around all these sleds and swinging across ropes and working out at the American Gladiator set.
Right.
And I'm gonna grow this beard in full circle and I'm gonna show you bitches mm-hmm. what time it is. And now everybody wants to go down on Drake.
That's true, but he got buff and grew a good beard and that can make a world difference.
It
so.
Really can.
I mean, because he's definitely fine now. Like, I'm not gonna argue with the soul about that one. Like, he's certainly sexy at this point. So, it is what it is.
He had vision. Okay, you don't care about Kobe Bryant retiring. I thought that this was, like, a big deal, I guess.
It is. It's a huge deal, but not to me. Like, Kobe... I feel like, I mean, Kobe is obviously a great player, one of the greatest players of all time, but I don't feel no type of way. Like, he never played for my team. I'm not a Laker fan. I'm not really a Kobe a fan of his personality. You know, he had the whole rape thing in Colorado. Of course he does. He's an egocentric asshole, like most great men. He's fucking
only thing
dickhead.
I can think about Kobe Bryant, I think about the case against him, his mm-hmm. wife who stayed with him because he bought her
that
whatever she asked
ring.
For. That ring was the size of this microphone. Like,
she sat up there holding on to Kobe with that ring on display and I said, that's it. Right. She was like, I know you have questions and right here.
This is why.
These 9 carats are the answers.
Oh, you can't see because it's blinding you.
Oh, you can't. Let me just
adjust
it.
Well, let me just tell you.
Because when the light hit the ice, it do twinkle and glisten.
You are so ghetto for that.
I don't
like,
care.
I cannot believe that
I'll
you said
I'll be a hood
that.
Rat if I have to.
Well, okay. For people that, you know, care or like play 2K or
mean,
whatever.
Kobe farewell, Bryant. Kobe. That's all I have.
I don't know if I grew up in the Jordan era, but I did own Space Jam.
Okay. So that's what really matters.
I remember Jordan playing. Like, I remember mm-hmm. when, but again, I've never really given a fuck about sports, so... I remember the games with him in it. I remember when he went to baseball briefly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that reaction. I remember him going back to basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
So I kind of know his effect on the sport and on, like, sports stars being a thing
yeah.
and that whole thing. So I don't know if that is why I've never really been impressed by Kobe Bryant, but I've never been that impressed by any athlete.
Yeah.
Not like in the football or basketball world?
Well, Michael Jordan is kind of like my Beyonce of basketball, just because.
I thought that's what he was.
Well, I mean, and yeah, I mean, to be honest, but like, especially for me, because he was kind of like Michael Jackson, which, you know, same era of time I grew up in. It was like this person was dominating and amazing. So anybody who comes afterward, obviously Kobe had a bunch of Jordan comparisons, a ton that will exist probably until the end of fucking time.
But I hear more people compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, of course they do, because LeBron is another like great player who will certainly go down in the Hall of Fame as like being one of the most amazing basketball players of all time. However, I don't have an emotional attachment to Kobe Bryant at all, and he's never given me a real reason, like in interviews or any other situation, for me to think that he's like a nice guy or somebody I would want to get to know. So I'm just kind of about him. I respect him as a player, and that's it. Congrats to him, and I hope he enjoys his life.
Okay.
Anything else? Are we done?
I think we're done. I don't know if this is going to be my read, but because I don't really have one. The only thing that's kind of annoyed me this week is this news about Lupita.
Okay, well, I don't even know the news, so you might as well save it for the read then, and I can hear it for the first time.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so let's take a break. We'll be back. Hey guys, do you love books but find that you rarely have the time to read them? Well, Audible.com has the absolute perfect solution. All you need to do is get audiobooks and listen to all the books you've been meaning to read while you're on the go. You can listen to books at the gym, during your commute, at work if you can wear headphones. There are really just millions of different places, and Audible provides over 180,000 different audio programs from the leading publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers straight to you. Their app is free and it works on iPhones, iPad, Android, and Windows phones. You can download it and listen on your Kindle Fire and over 500 different MP3 players. Audible has the great listen guarantee, and if you decide you don't like the book you chose, there are no worries. You can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime, no questions asked. Kid Fury knows even more about it.
Yes, they've got books like The Man in the High Castle. They've got The War of Art, which we talked about, which is an amazing book.
Yes,
they've
and got, shout out to everybody who's been telling us that they've been reading War of Art, because it's a phenomenal book.
It's amazing. They've even got Harry Potter up in there if you want to be a wizard or a witch or what have you. And Crystal told you about the Great Listen Guarantee. So if you don't like a book you choose, you don't have to do anything but exchange it. And just for you listeners, they're offering you over at Audible a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/read today to start the free trial. It's a whole bunch of free and a whole lot of fun reading books. So let Audible know that we sent you. Go give them some love and let's get back to the show. All right, so we're back and it's time for listener letters.
Yes, it is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com and we may just read it on the show. So we have an update this week from the young lady who emailed us because she got nudes from her 63-year-old coworker. I'm certain you remember that story.
I have not forgotten.
And she said, so right after I listened to the advice you guys gave, I went to work and I was ready to confront Betty about what happened. But of course, she was out sick, so I had to wait till the next Monday. Monday came and I made eye contact with her and said good morning. She looked surprised and said good morning back, and we made small talk about the weather. The whole day was still awkward as usual until we ended up alone and I made a comment to break the silence. We went back and forth with a fake laugh, and then I looked at Betty and said, I think we need to talk, and she agreed. She started out by apologizing for making it weird and uncomfortable for me over the past few weeks and for not telling anybody. To make a long story short, she confirmed that the pictures were not actually for me, amen, but they were not for her boyfriend either. They're actually for her new girlfriend, explained that she and her husband are finalizing a divorce and she's trying new things and is with a woman. I told her, I'm glad you're happy, but girl, please delete my number. We laughed and she hugged me. Thanks for the help. What's her face? I can't remember if she gave us a real name or not.
Okay, so not, what's her face?
Well, I'm not going to say what her real name is because I don't remember if she gave us an anonymous name or not.
Veronica.
So, Veronica. Yes. So see, that's not her name. Shout out to you. And our first question this week says that it is for Kid Fury. Says, hi, Kid Fury. I've been following you for a while now, and I remember how much you loved J. Cole before he offended you on one of his albums or singles. I don't remember exactly which one. I just remember you cussed him out.
The one with 500 faggots.
Oh, right. That album that started off with the faggots, and I never even listened to, I never went back to that album.
I listened to the rest of it.
Okay. Well, anyway. However, it's been almost a year since his new album, Forest Hills, dropped, and a lot of people love how humble he was on it. He also said it was the first album he was really able to be himself on. I was wondering if you've listened to it or have you thought about giving him a second chance? And if you haven't, I would recommend it. Love you. Thanks, Nicole. Have you been, I haven't heard you talking too much about J. Cole since that whole faggot album dropped.
Yeah. You know, Jermaine and I, we've decided that it's best for each other if we just respect what we once had and, you know, go our separate ways. I feel, you know, very happy that he's still finding success in his endeavors and that he remains, you know, a contender in the rap world in terms of lyrics and things and production. Good for him.
So your relationship with him is over.
It's done.
Okay.
I have not listened to this new album. I found it to be too hard. You know.
Oh, it's Raymond versus Raymond for you.
Still kind of some baggage there, which I'm totally okay with admitting. But no, I haven't listened to it. I don't really have like the desire to. I keep telling myself I was going to listen to it, and I just haven't listened to it.
Isn't he engaged to a woman anyway? Like,
yeah, like his high school sweetheart.
Oh yeah, congrats to them.
Like they've That's been cute. Together.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
So yeah, I'm glad that his album is good. I've heard like nothing but good things about it. I just haven't listened to it because I don't want to.
Okay. Our next question is from Venus. This is a fake name. And she says, I've been seeing this guy for about 4 months and he's great. We've been hooking up for about 3 of those 4 months and he's always able to do things that satisfy me. The problem is that every time we try to have vaginal intercourse, he goes soft when the condom goes on, even when I put it on for him. I have a very strict no raw sex policy and we're not even in an exclusive relationship. So that policy definitely applies here. This is very frustrating, however, for the both of us. Should I keep trying or is this completely hopeless? Thanks so much. I love the show, Venus. What kind of situation is this? Is that like a medical thing? Is it like, can you can you have a medical problem with your penis? Like people put condoms on it and then it doesn't want to work anymore?
Some people are allergic to latex.
But that would make you like itch, right?
Yeah, I don't know what would happen. I don't think that it would make your penis flaccid.
I'm trying to, I don't have one and I don't have a lot of experience with them, but I'm not sure under which circumstances your penis would just be like go from hard to soft out of nowhere. Or like,
yeah, it's probably because he doesn't want to use a condom.
But that desire outweighs your desire to have sex.
It could be that though, because what I'm saying is if you've never had sex with him without a condom, which good, but
good, right, good.
Maybe it's not. Like maybe there could be a list of reasons here. Maybe he gets really nervous. Or he doesn't focus. Usually, I feel like the only time that men lose hard-ons is if they're not into it or if they're focused.
Focused?
If they're not into it or they're not focused.
Not focused on sex.
Like, right. If, like, your mind is, someplace else, maybe. Right. You know, then maybe you. But I feel like most of the times, like, niggas' dicks will only go soft if they're not into it.
I'm taking notes because,
that's
you know,
how mine works. Okay. I don't know if.
All right. Thank you for clarifying.
Everybody is the same, but I'm pretty sure like
for me,
if it's not, if they're not into it, that's usually what's gonna happen.
Maybe
it could be the condom thing, but you never know. Like this nigga could just have a dick that don't work.
Well,
like that happens. either way, you're not really in a situation that gives you reason to continue to have sex with him.
Or whatever y'all are having together. Because I imagine if it goes soft as soon as you put a condom on, then the most y'all are doing is probably oral, which is cool. But I can imagine at some point you're ready to move past that. So, I don't know. I guess you need to talk to him and figure out what exactly that is going to determine whether you really put effort into this. Because I only like raw sex.
Only y'all that ask these questions. I swear to God. Like, start treating these niggas the way that they treat you. Period. Please. Like, because if this was a nigga and he was saying, well, her vagina just doesn't get as damp as I need it to be.
Wait, what?
Like, I just, you know, what should I do? Like, he would just not fuck you anymore. He would just go fuck somebody else. Or he would do it like, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas, especially when it comes to sex, these types of conversations are not that hard for them. If they're not satisfied, they're going to go find somebody to satisfy them. Do that. Like, it's not, you're talking about somebody who you've known or been talking to for 4 months and sleeping with for 3.
Yes, sleeping with for 3.
DVDs don't even take that long to, like, they, like, some shit, it's been no time. Like, you're in a perfect moment in this relationship with this guy to just be like, this isn't working, I'm out. Like,
yeah.
And if you really feel in your heart of hearts it's because he doesn't want to bust you bareback, then girl, that's even more reason for you to be like, you know what? If your dick don't even work with a condom on it, then that is an issue for me. Right. Because I feel like most niggas maybe, like, if they wore a condom and let's say they're not used to it or they just hate sex with condoms, that most of them I feel would probably take longer to get to where they're trying to go, or they just wouldn't be as into it or whatever. But I don't feel like you just can't have sex because it's just that poo to you.
I don't really know how this works, but it seems to me that if it's just an issue where he doesn't want to wear a condom and it goes soft because his penis is just so used to raw sex, then you're probably better off not sleeping with him anyway, because that means he's not using condoms with
even if
else.
It ain't like, so. Just don't fuck him. Like, don't do it. There are so many dicks that will work with a condom, without a condom, that can still please you in ways that don't involve dicks. Like, just don't date the nigga. Like, why do you always feel like you have to, like, there are niggas out here, like, unless you're, like, in prison or you're, like, on a cruise, I don't know what the fuck where you're at or where you could exist in your life where you just don't have any option.
All right. Well, so hopefully that helps. Talk to him and let us know. Our last question's from Jordan. He says, I just had a quick question. What did the two of you want to be when you were younger? And now, what do you want to be doing when you consider yourself to be at the prime of your success? Thanks so much. And I love the show. P.S. Kid Fury, I'm still waiting for your mixtape. Love, Jordan.
What mixed? Okay.
Probably Titties on Your Back.
Oh, right.
The one that you write, the fake mixtape.
What did we want to be
when I was younger? I wanted to be, for a while, I wanted to be a lawyer like my dad, because he was in law school and I was just like wanted to be like him. And then eventually I wanted to be a writer, and now I'm not really sure. Like, I feel like I'm kind of, I definitely have the arguing thing down. Like, I'm doing that all the time, and the writing part is slowly coming back to me, but I'm not really sure what I want to be doing when I consider myself to be, like, the most successful, or, like, at the peak of my career, or doing what I really want to do. Like, I find that what I want to do changes more, like, the more that I keep living. It's like I'm kind of opening myself up to new opportunities and doing stuff I hadn't really considered before. So, what about you?
I wanted to be a doctor because I feel like when you're a child, you're just given like 5 careers that you're encouraged to have. Like, kids usually, when they're children, want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a fireman, a police officer, or like the president or some shit.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was doctor because I felt like doctors were badass, and like Cliff Huxtable was a doctor. And my parents were always like, yes, he wants to be a doctor. Money, 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 money. Like, it was kind of, I felt like that's what it was. So I knew that more than anything, me saying that I wanted to be a doctor made my family really, really excited. But I was like 4 or 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So what the fuck? Like, who wants to be a doctor at that age? Right. I just wanted lunch. Like, I don't even know why you're asking me what the fuck I want to be. Like, I'm still learning to color inside the lines.
I'm not really thinking about a job, right? I'm kind of focused on growing up right now.
And I started really reading books like really, really, really early in like at like two or something, like a few months. Mm-hmm. I started reading books and I loved to read and still love to read and loved books and all of that shit. And so I guess my parents really felt like I was about to go to like...
Yeah. Mine too. My mama thought I was really going to be something. Well,
get a white coat and be out here like...
They thought I was going to be way smarter than what I ended up being because I started reading early and everybody told me all the time that I was so smart. But I knew from an early age that I didn't know shit about science and math. Like, those were always my two least favorite subjects. So, doctor was never in the equation for me. Like, I never even entertained that shit. Not for a moment, so...
Now I don't really know... I've known for over 10 years that I want to work in comedy, but that could mean like hundreds of things, thousands mm-hmm. of things. And so I'm just trying to, you know, do what I can. And I don't really like to say what I'm going to do until I'm going to do it or until it's done. So, you know, I feel like you kind of get an idea of what I'm trying to say when I say that I just want to work in comedy, but whatever.
Yeah. I feel like as long as I can support myself and do stuff that I'm proud of and stuff that I enjoy doing, then I'm going to consider myself successful. Like, I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, I have to achieve a certain goal in order to be successful. Like, as long as I'm happy with my life and I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then I'm pleased with myself. So,
but I don't feel like we are given much time to really enjoy our life. Like, I don't feel like, I think that we think that we're supposed to go to school and do great in school. And then because you did great in school, you're supposed to get this really great job and you're supposed to make a whole bunch of money mm-hmm. and then you're supposed to enjoy it. Like, there's never a really a moment in your life unless you like make it to a certain age and you can live off retirement or whatever, God willing. Mm-hmm. But there's not, I don't feel like there's a moment in your life where you really get to just sit back average people
right.
and be like, I did all this work and now I'm gonna enjoy it for, you know, the rest of my life.
Right.
So for me, I'm not someone who gets wrapped up in what's going on now or what someone else would deem as a success, because I'm always so busy trying to go and do something else and keep myself busy and like
right.
you know, do better than what I've been doing and improve on what I've done and all of that shit. And so hopefully I'll make it to a place where I can say, well, I didn't really want to do X, Y, and Z. I wanted to do all of this shit. And I got to do all of the things that I wanted to do. And now I'm going to chill out and drink, you know, like some pineapple juice and rum with a nigga who's much younger than me and super fine and okay. whatever.
Go get your groove back then.
Sure.
All right. So that wraps up the question. Send yours to askthereed@gmail.com and we'll be right back.
Hey, you guys, this episode is being brought to you by Tristan Walker and the great people over at Bevel, the first and only shaving system for people with coarse hair, curly hair, sensitive skin, and things of that nature. If you're someone like myself who has struggled with razor bumps or skin irritation from shaving and all kinds of crazy creams, then Bevel is definitely something that you want to get into because it's beautifully designed to cater to your skin and make you look and feel beautiful. And this month right now, for the season of giving and holiday cheer, they're offering your first month free just by going over to getbevel.com and using the code THEREEDFREE. But that's only good for the first 300 people. And after that, limited time holiday pricing will be running through at the end of the year. New customers and memberships only. So if you've been wanting to try Bevel, or if you want to get it for your cousin, your baby daddy, your husband, your boyfriend, you know, your DL, your trade piece, go to getbevel.com, use code THEREEDFREE, and get your first month free. Shave yourself, keep your sexy updated, and let them know that we sent you and that we love you. Let's get back to the show. All right, so it's time for the read.
It is, and I'm a little curious about this Lupita story that you were talking about earlier.
Well, it's no big deal. Well, I mean, it's a big deal to me, but it's not like a huge read. I just really don't have anything, and I've barely gotten any sleep, and I'm trying to get my life and my sleep cycle back on track. Like, I'm literally taking ZQL again so that I can go to bed.
Oh, no.
It's just
so you have insomnia again? Like, you can't sleep?
Yeah, it's killing me right now. Like, no. I'll stay up all night. I have to, like, take something to go to sleep.
What time did you go to bed last night?
Like, 4:30.
Oh, my God. Are you fucking joking? Wow.
And I took ZQL at 2.
Nah,
my And neighbor. I felt my body the whole time, like, go to bed.
Right.
And my brain was just like, not yet.
Actually, kind of cool right
just
here.
A little bit more.
So, just gonna not.
So anyway, I read this today. It could just be a rumor, but a lot of people have been posting this. So again, I guess we'll see come December 18th when the new Star Wars movie comes out, The Force Awakens. Now, they've been talking about this new movie coming out for a while. It's been in production for a minute, but I just heard about Lupita being a part of the cast maybe last year. So when I heard about that, I instantly was like, okay. And I've said on the show before, I have to like go and watch these movies and like get updated because I really want to see how she, you know, like I want to see her in this movie. Like I kind of wanted to see it anyway. Like I love Lupita, but I'm not like a Lupita stan to the point where it's just like, oh my God, I have to go. Like she just kind of gave me like reason to be like, okay, well, let me see what this is all about. So I bought all the movies, I watched all of them, and I liked them. Like I thought I would like them. It's, you know, interesting or whatever. But again, this is all inspired by the fact that this woman's supposed to be in this movie. So then today I'm reading all these reports that apparently she's been cut, like all of her scenes in the movie were cut to the point where she's almost not even in it at all.
What?
Yeah, so like
no.
They're saying like from what I read like her appearance in the movie if any will be like really really brief. And it's because they're saying the director J.J. Abrams, who actually is one of my favorite sci-fi directors. He says that he wasn't impressed with her acting.
What?
And it might be because she wasn't really used to like CGI. Cause I don't even know what the thing about J.J. Abrams and his films is he almost always shrouds them in mystery. Like he'll give you right. 5 trailers. None of them tell you what people look like, what the movie is about. I've always liked that about him because there's nothing worse than when you're like anticipating a film and a trailer comes out and you watch the trailer and you know how the whole movie goes, like right. Suicide Squad. I could tell you exactly how that movie gonna go just because of the trailer. I hate when people do that. So,
okay.
I don't even know what Lupita's supposed to look like, but because they said CGI is involved, she may be looking like some kind of crazy ass alien, maybe like some Avatar shit where she looks like half human.
I don't know.
But the rumor is that her scenes got cut back like dramatically because he just wasn't seeing it.
Damn.
So,
and that's coming from J.J. Abrams.
Matter of fact, let me look it up once more because
I'm like, oh damn.
I know that a lot of people have seen the movie. Like they've been doing previews for people. Like I know Steven Spielberg. I think Steven Spielberg said he thought that it was wonderful. Harrison Ford, I think, said that he thought it was wonderful. He's in it, so girl. Steven Spielberg said something about it maybe being one of the greatest sci-fi movies of all time or some shit like that.
Oh my God.
Like lots and lots and lots of hype. So I know people have seen the movie, but I don't think that J.J. Abrams has said out his mouth yet that this is the case.
I will feel so bad for Lupita if that's true. Like I would be like genuinely sad for her. I like her.
But I've read it on like a lot of different outlets today because at first I thought that it maybe was just like a hateful rumor and it may be like again I'm going I already bought my ticket I'm gonna go see the movie I'm sure it'll be good anyway but if you cut out Lupita I have a serious issue with that because again you know we celebrate Lupita because she's you know beautiful and graceful and smart and you know she seems to be a beautiful soul with this great energy and people just like her she's just likable and I think that it says a lot for someone like me who already loves nerd shit, but never cared so much to dive into all of this Star Wars, all of the resources out here, all of the media involved are connected to Star Wars. You've got comic books, video games, movies, TV shows, cartoon shows, clothes, costumes, toys, all of this shit,
money.
Board games, everything, rides. And I've always just been like, oh, I know what that is because Star Wars came out you know, long before I was, you know, considered, mm-hmm. whatever. But it wasn't until this particular actress, this woman, was announced to be a part of the movie that I actually went out and spent money
yeah.
on the movies, bought Star Wars Battlefront for PlayStation 4, play the game, understand who these people are. Like, I'm like a part of the lore, or not a part of it, but like I understand it. Like, yeah. I get it now, and it's all because of this woman. And now you telling me, JJ, that she ain't gonna be in it because you just felt away, like you just didn't feel like, you know, her acting. Well, then, girl, just put it in there. If her acting ain't, if her acting isn't where it needs to be, bitch, if you felt like she could have just like jumped on an Ewok, or if you felt like she wasn't like snarling hard enough, because I think she's supposed to be like an intergalactic pirate or some shit. I don't care. Yeah. Leave it in there. And if it's bad, girl, then let it be bad. Because I bought my ticket and I spent all of my Star Wars money on the fact that Lupita's supposed to be a part of it. And I thought that was going to be astronomical and amazing and so great. And she was going to look so cool as an alien. And now you're telling me that I'm only going to get a peek of her. I hope it is a substantial peek and piece of this. Of I want my Lupita. That's all I'm saying. I'm glad that homeboy from that weird alien British movie is in it, and that people are just dealing with the fact that he's going to be the star and he's got like Luke Skywalker's lightsaber or whatever. That's the thing. We don't know shit about the movie, mm-hmm. which is a good thing, but I want my Lupita in Star Wars.
Period.
Like, I just want it. I want it. Why did you feel like you had to wait until now when the shit is like a month out? Or not even, like, we're like 2-3 weeks away from yeah. this shit. And now you feel like you'd want to tell people that her acting wasn't, you couldn't, hey girl. So I feel like, you know, when you shoot this laser beam out of your mouth or whatever, I don't think anyone does that on Star Wars, but whatever. I feel like, you know, let's get you into a room, because I've only seen scenes mm-hmm. of Lupita acting in 12 Years a Slave, because I just couldn't do that whole movie.
Yeah,
I'm not
no.
even gonna lie to
it
you.
It was like, a lot.
I couldn't do it. There were way too many moments. And then there were people in that film that I like really, really love that were playing evil characters. And I was like, you know what, Michael Fassbender, our homegirl from American Horror Story, I don't want to hate your asses forever.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna turn this off. But I did see enough of Lupita's acting to be like good with who she is as an actress. I think that she definitely has talent. And I feel like, you know, this is a movie that's supposed to be about fun and whatever. And if you feel like you needed to cut back to do whatever for your film, that's fine. But I feel like you could have told homegirl ahead of time so you could have got her up to par. I want my Lupita in Star Wars. I want her riding around in ships, shooting green and red lasers or whatever, just like everybody else. I want her to be a part of this. I feel like it's only fair, and I'm upset about it. I feel yeah. a way about it. And, you know, hopefully when I go and see the movie, I am not, you know, heartbroken. But again, maybe it's not for me. I'm a bandwagon ass Star Wars fan in the first place. But it's like telling me,
I
like,
get it, because I mean, she was gonna be the only reason I saw it, and now I'm seriously considering not seeing it at all if she's barely in it. Like, somebody else is gonna have to go first and tell me, like, yeah, girl, go see Lupita in that movie.
Well, I'm going the day it comes out.
Okay, all right.
So I will definitely know. I think that it's still probably gonna be a really good movie. I'm just going to be extremely and utterly disappointed yeah. if she's only in there and has like two lines. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be real pissed, because I never expected for her to have a huge role anyway, because she's not really a part of the main cast. But mm-hmm. Star Wars is a series of films that's always been like all over the galaxy, whatever, and so sometimes they'll have characters that will only be in it for like a chunk or like an act or mm-hmm. something like that. But they're giving me like, oh, she's gonna be like, would you like fries with that? Thank you, come again. And I'm not having it. Like,
right, no.
I need more. I want to see more. If Zoe Saldana can play two goddamn aliens and Nina Simone, then you can have Lupita be in here and act as whatever fucking intergalactic beast you had her yes. play in the first place. Since you want to give niggas CGI, whatever, it's fine. I just want what I came here for. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? Seriously? I bought all the goddamn movies. I chopped off a whole weekend of my life to sit here and watch this little shriveled up green nigga teach people how to like move shit with their minds, this grown up ass Matilda. And I'm like, all right, it's cute. Like, I like it. I see it for it. And I can't wait to see this girl who's not even gonna be in it now. I blame Disney.
Okay. Oof. All right. You feel better? Not really.
But see, I don't know if I should feel bad because, like, what if she's, like, actually in it for, like, a bit and, like, her part is sickening?
So, okay. So, this is just your read in case they did do her wrong.
Just in case.
Right.
For you even to think.
And you know what? White people have a history of doing black girls wrong. So, it's not like you don't have a reason to be wary.
Y'all have been trashing movies all the time for whole movies. Like.
So, my read this week, I'm actually so annoyed with this country because the two things that I was considering doing my read on was like Donald Trump and how he has continued to be like worse somehow. And white people, y'all have still not gotten him out of the paint, which I don't understand. Like if there was a black, anyway, I'm not going there. So Donald Trump, I was going to address Donald Trump's bullshit. And then I was going to talk about how there's always some shit going on in this country. And it's like nobody really wants to talk about it or address the real problem, like how we're getting to the point where we're having so many mass shootings in this country that I hear the news about a mass shooting and I literally keep on going with my day like nothing happened. Right. Like somebody said, oh, girl, it'll rain on Thursday. Like just like, oh, OK, it's just like another piece of information that you absorb. It's like you don't even the reality of somebody, you know, murdering six people at a mall or something. It's like that horrificness is lost on us now. Like those were the things that I was thinking, you know, I was going to talk about within the past couple of days. And then today it's like both of those topics decided to just shit on themselves harder. Like, oh girl, if you thought you were mad at Donald Trump, here he goes even, you know, being more Donald Trumpier. If you thought you were mad at Americans and this gun control issue, like girl, here we go again. How the fuck are we in a position where we have had more mass shootings in this country than we have had calendar days in the year? Like literally dead ass. We've had so many mass shootings in this country that we had two today alone. This is Wednesday, obviously. And the fact of the matter is that people really didn't even pay attention to the first one because there was nothing particularly newsworthy about it other than the fact that somebody died. Like, that's a real sentence that I can say out loud in 2015, and it's totally true. And nobody can say, oh, you're reaching, or you're overreacting, or you're doing a lot right now. Like, no, literally, people can be gunned down in Georgia, and it's not even a news item. And this shooting that happened in San Bernardino wouldn't be either if it wasn't for the fact that these motherfuckers shot up, like, a special needs, I think, like, a social services building or something. It was, like, a center for disabled people or something, just, like, sick, you know, something horrific where you just like, how the fuck, how is this a society? How are the people who are so crazy about their guns and love their guns so fucking much? And trust me, I understand. I am from Oklahoma. It does not get countryer than me. I understand the love of guns. I grew up with guns in the house. I grew up knowing how to shoot. Yes. How fucking ever. We have a gun problem in this country. And if the fact that we have had more shootings than days in the year does not get through to you, I don't know what the fuck will. Like, it's to the point where it has to be somebody went and shot up a Planned Parenthood. It has to be somebody went and shot up a church, a school. It has to be something else to it, because if it's just, oh, it was a random man in a parking lot, then that's barely even a blip on the news. And how the fuck are we here, y'all, really? Like, honestly, as a people, like, I feel like we're to the point, America, this fucking country is to a point with the gun control issue that I can't believe we haven't caused some sort of state of emergency. People are literally dying on a damn near daily basis, and we're all just walking around like that is a normal way to live. Y'all, this is not fucking healthy. We should not be living in no fucking environment where you could literally go out and be murdered by some lunatic who managed to get his hands on a machine gun, or some lonely ass white boy who hasn't had a date since 1997 and decided to take it out on a bunch of girls who were just going to the movies with their fucking friends minding their business, or just some crazy ass police officer who is mad that you had the nerve to ask questions about why he detained you for no reason. Like, we shouldn't be living in a world where that is the reality, especially this fucking country where the premise is equality, where the premise is that you know, we are here and we are all supposed to be equal. It shouldn't be no, oh, well, I'm frightened of the police. It shouldn't be no, oh, well, I'm scared that if I go outside, I'm gonna be gunned down in the middle of the mall or the park or wherever the fuck else, because y'all are holding on to something in the Constitution that was written back when guns were literally made out of like wood and tin cans. Back when it took like 20 minutes to even load a gun and you shot it once and you were like lucky if you hit the nigga you were supposed to be hitting. Like your forefathers, your racist ass slave owning forefathers whose words you want to hold on to so dearly, and that's a sentiment I don't really understand anyway, but the fact that y'all cling to the Constitution the way you do, first of all, I don't respect them niggas the way you do, but secondly, your people could have never fathomed guns the way they exist today. There is no way the motherfuckers who wrote the Constitution had any idea that the rifles and the assault weapons that we have available in this country today would have ever existed. There's no reason that any fucking body in America with a pulse should be able to own a semi-automatic weapon. It just, there is no fucking reason for it. And you never gonna convince me that there's a reason that you, John Q. nigga living in Dallas, Texas, needs to have that kind of rifle. Like, you just fucking don't. It doesn't make any sense. We don't need these kind of guns. And the fact that they are so readily available and niggas are having Black Friday sales on guns and you can walk in Walmart and buy your groceries and pick up your baby's birthday cake and get a gun. Like, there is something wrong with our culture that guns are that readily available. And the proof is in the fact that people die all the goddamn time and we don't even care anymore. Like, I'm so fucking fed up. I just can't even do it no more. Like, I'm this place, it's like I can't even turn on the news. I really can't. It's like I can't even absorb the details of these fucked up stories anymore, because I'm just, it's like I'm fed up. I can't, I'm so angry about it. I can't just sit back and listen to this shit no more. Like, y'all niggas are literally, I could be the next one. I might not even make it to the next week that we tape this fucking show, because at any point somebody with a gun, some nigga could just come over from wherever the fuck ever, and here we are just with another fucking mass shooting. And it won't even matter, because there'll be another one 2 days after that and 2 days after that. I'm just sick of it. I'm fed the fuck up. I'm tired. Like, goddamn, life is not supposed to be this way. Taxes too fucking high in this country for life to be this way.
Agreed.
I'm honestly, like, I'm stressed, and the weather changing fucks with my mood every year, and it's dark at 4:15, and that just, I feel like I only have like 5 actual hours of daylight to get things done, and then it's time to shut down for the night. And it's just like, I'm already in a shitty mood, like, because of the seasons changing. And then it's like the news doesn't make it any better. And all you ever hear is some dumbass who, you know, fucks his sister every other weekend talking about, oh, well, the Constitution guarantees my right to a rifle. Like, okay, and maybe it does, but it shouldn't. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe you just should not be allowed to, because clearly we don't know what the fuck we doing. Clearly we're not doing a good job of managing guns. We have the rule, but we're abusing it. Obviously, something is going fucking wrong, because too many innocent people going about their day are being murdered. It just doesn't, and it doesn't make any sense that the general population and the politicians in this country can just sit back and be like, oh, well, the loss of life is worth it. Because no, we refuse. We are going to hold on to these rifles no matter the fuck what, and y'all should just be allowed to have it. Just period. Like, this is just, I'm fed up with you niggas. I'm sick of this shit. I'm tired. I can't even handle the fucking news no more.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. It's just kind of like, I like, white people don't really consider any of this stuff a problem unless it's someone, like, if it's one of us that does it. If it's a brown person shooting someone, then that's then what's considered terrorism, or all of these things. Personally, my theory is that white people, like the ones who like to bring up the Constitution and talk about their rights, they have guns and they own like a whole entire like B613 in their garage and all this shit, is like, I feel like you're probably attached to that spirit of your people that kind of like really took over and ruined the world with guns. Like,
yeah, that colonizer spirit.
Guns were kind of what led you to just running over to whatever portion of God's earth that you wanted to and clearing it the fuck out of human beings, making them do what you wanted them to do, killing them if they didn't. Like, guns have always kind of represented power to a lot of people, and I feel like that's still the case today. Like, a lot of motherfuckers, like, there's just no need for you to have a gun besides defending yourself from somebody else who has a gun.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that fear, but something is clearly broken. It should not be this way. Like, this is just absurd.
Like I said on the show before, like, I feel like white Americans kind of look at gun violence and mass shootings like it's America's other favorite pastime. Like, it's just something that just happens here, and, you know, just don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because no one ever cares until it's your kid or your family member or friend or whatever that was gunned down for nothing at school, at work, at church, at the movies, at daycare, at the dog park. Like, until it's actually someone, until it's you, or unless it's like so close to you where you have to be calling up and making sure that your loved ones are at home safe and things, that's when people start to be like, oh, something needs to be done. But other than this, niggas get shot, and motherfuckers, especially white people, just kind of look at each other and be like, well, we also here, so I'm going to Trader Joe's. Like, okay, so we're just not going to talk about the fact that, like, shit like this, like, you like to look down your noses at all these other countries that are getting shot up and bombed every single day and act like because your family is going to bed safe tonight that you live in a world where that is just not the case. It's only black people because black people are angry, and Muslim people because Muslim people are crazy and radical. It's just them. And if we could deport them, you know, that we would there would be no problem. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to pay attention to all the motherfuckers that look just like you and your racist ass husband and your racist ass kids that are going around here killing people who are just minding their goddamn business, trying to pay their way through life, killing them off dead because they had a bad day, because someone misunderstood them, and then calling them mentally ill. Like, it's gotten to a point where you can't deny it. Denying it would just make you, it would just show the world how stupid you are. Mm-hmm. We're not living in an age anymore where you can just talk in circles and people will just kind of like get confused and not know the truth. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody can see what's going on. People in other countries can see what's going on. People in this country can see what's going on. Everybody knows what the case is. So it doesn't make any sense at this point for this still to be a problem. Like, it doesn't. Just because some rusty, crusty, moldy ass piece of paper that some old dead racist white folks wrote and signed or whatever, like, because this piece of paper says that we're supposed to just be like, okay, well, this is a piece of paper and these are some rules and laws and amendments or whatever that are going to, you know, they're just going to keep up with time for the rest of time, and nothing is ever going to, although science and society advances every single day and changes living situations from then, you know, this is just going to be something that's going to make sense forever. No, girl. Like you just said, guns are completely different. It's going to be, you can probably shoot bullets out of an iPhone soon.
It's around, like, the corner.
So you're telling me that all of this stuff should just be the same way that it's always been? No one should ever be like, oh, hey, girl, let's talk about changing this, because the society and the world that we're living in right now is on some bullshit and they're abusing it. No.
But the same people who don't believe in gun control are almost always the ones who are talking about, we can't let the Syrian refugees over because you're scared of terrorism, when domestic terrorists have killed more Americans than the damn jihadists or whatever else you want to call them.
Like,
past 15 years alone. Like,
way more.
Like, domestic terrorism is a bigger threat to you than ISIS, and yet you refuse to see that because you're racist. Because to you, the only real threat comes from somebody brown or brownish, or from an area where you think brown people may be. The terrorists that live in your own backyard, all these so-called loners, all these sad ass white boys who listen to fucking heavy metal or whatever the fuck else and lived in the wilderness and didn't talk to nobody, and y'all talking about, oh, well, we just would have never known. The fact that that's the profile for, like, all these niggas, like, okay, like, I just feel like by now y'all should have caught on to this trend and maybe stop trying to act like there's so many loners and it's just a loner, and acknowledge that you have a big ass motherfucking problem in these niggas. It's the, like, domestic terrorists.
Who else has to die? Who do they need to kill for you to just be like, oh,
and you,
okay,
know what? It doesn't matter, because Sandy Hook happened. If 26 year olds can die and America don't change, then America's just not gonna fucking change.
Like, what?
It's just not. But that don't mean, and I'm damn tired of your shit, and that's why I'm speaking up about it. But, like, as far as the hope that this country will ever get any better about the gun laws, I really don't have it. I don't. But I will continue to cuss you out for it. Donald Trump is just lucky that I took on that topic first and not this other one, because this nigga has been showing his ass. Like, he's just been doing the whole ass monkey doodle fool, but he can wait for another day. So I guess that wraps up this episode of The Read. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at This Is The Read, and check out our website, thisistheread.com, for links to all of our things that we're doing and show episodes, etc. and so forth. Kid Fury, what's up with you this week?
Oh, things.
Do you have announcements or not?
Yeah, sort of.
I'm trying to remember if I do. I feel like I'm supposed to, but I don't remember.
Okay, well, first of all, I, Kid Fury, am having a toy drive for Christmas on Sunday, December 13th at the Nail Suite by Lisa Logan, uptown in Harlem. Toys for Tots and the United States Marine Corps will be there to collect toys. So come on out. That's the Sunday, December 13th. I'll put a flyer on Instagram or somewhere for you guys to see, so you have all of the full information, but it's going to be from 3 to 6. Make sure that you bring a toy, bring something cute for the kids. It's for a good cause. I've always wanted to do this. I'm really excited to finally be doing it. Hopefully make it an annual thing.
That's very cool. Look at you doing something good for the kids.
Also in January, I will be having a live event that I don't know if
Oh my God, you're telling people about that thing that you told me about?
Yeah, but I don't know if I should wait. Do you have anything else to say?
I don't. I had no idea you were like potentially announcing that. So,
well, I'm trying to announce it so that I will do it.
I don't think I really have any. I don't have anything to say. No, I don't really. Way up. I feel blessed.
Okay. Well,
go ahead and say it then. Go ahead.
So I'm doing a show in January called Furious Thoughts Live, and it's just going to be like it's going to be a stand-up show, like a stand-up version of my YouTube videos. I'm very excited about it. I'm also terrified, and I'm, you know, trying to put myself in positions where I can involve myself in things that I want to do that I continue to procrastinate on because I'm terrified. So it's going to be fun. And, you know, a flyer for that and tickets, information and all of that shit will be up very soon. Right now, that's all I'm leaving you with. It's going to be a comedy show and things of that nature, and it'll be fun. January 16th is the day we're looking at, I think, right now. So
congratulations,
New York. That's going to be for you and whatnot. And then I'll try and put it on YouTube and so on.
Okay. How terrified are you?
Pretty scared. I think that I can. I'm pretty sure I could do it, though.
I know you can do it.
I don't see it being much different than what I'm doing already. It was just to be by myself.
Yeah, you'll be fine. It's just, you know, getting over the nerves and going out there, but you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty good time.
It's going to be great.
And we're doing it in, well, God willing, nothing drastic changes, but we're doing it in a venue that Beyonce has blessed and shown things in and so on. So amen. I feel like if it's good enough for Beyonce, it's good enough for me. That'll probably be good luck.
Absolutely.
And, you know, fun times.
Congratulations.
So look out for that. It's going to be, you know, something cute, and hopefully we'll do a bunch of them or some shit. I don't know. Whatever. I'm done.
Also, okay, shout out to you for having Charlamagne officially, like, dodging your calls and, like, not trying to run into you in these streets, because he already know.
I have nothing further.
All right. Do you have a acronym this week or nah? Should we just... Oh, shout out to Washington, D.C., obviously. Goddamn. The show sold out, so I guess we forgot to mention it. But we will see you guys this Saturday. We are very, very excited.
Oh, also thank you to everybody for the birthday wishes and things last week. That was very nice. Shout out to our producer Chris for a really cool birthday gift. He got me an Xbox. I have no idea why, but that was really nice. And my acronym is BBB.
Beyonce.
Nope.
Is it Blue Ivy?
Bobby is Bobby's back, bitch. So they're saying Bobby Shmurda is either going to, he should either be free now or maybe later today, sometime this weekend. They're saying that he's posted bail and he should be getting out sometime soon. They're probably going to take him back at some point. But the point is,
first thing Shmigos. You got to do is get Migos on a plane to New York, because I'm certain he can't leave the city. So first thing we got to do is get Migos on a plane.
Let's get that taken
first care of.
Thanks.
Thing.
Shmigos.
All right. We will see y'all next week.